It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's show. And now, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
We're here with some Boy Scouts from Troop 99. We have Isaac Burkhart and Preston Hoying. Isaac, good to see you.
How are we doing today?
Good. And Preston, good to see you.
Hi.
So, Isaac, how old are you? What grade are you in?
I'm 17 and a senior at Fort Recovery.
Okay. And Preston?
I'm 15 and a sophomore.
All right. So, you guys are working on your Eagle Scout projects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we'll get into a little bit of the details of that a little bit later. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with details from Isaac and Preston about their Eagle Scout projects that they're working on.
The staff of Tin Man's in historic downtown Fort Recovery invites you to join us for our home-cooked daily lunch specials. Starting at 11, Monday through Friday, Tin Man features Mystery Meal Monday, Meatloaf Tuesday, Roasted Chicken Wednesday, Lasagna Thursday, and Tin Man's famous half-pound hand-patty cheeseburger on Friday. We also offer supper specials on Friday and Saturdays, including steak and roasted chicken, complemented by our large salad bar, choice of potato, and honey roll. Stop on in at Tin Man's in Fort Recovery and enjoy some good home cooking.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. New Lean and Mean TS6 Series tractors from New Holland and K&L Tractor Sales feature rock-solid reliability. You can tailor a model to match the tasks you do without sacrificing comfort. That's called being New Holland smart. Choose from four models between 90 and 115 PTO horsepower, two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive for added traction, and an all-weather cab or spacious flat-deck platform. No matter how you outfit your TS6 Series tractor, you get rock-solid reliability. Stop by K&L Tractor Sales today.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up on Fort Recovery Radio this week. It's Delphi St. John week, with the girls hosting the Lady Blue Jays on Thursday and the boys traveling to Delphus on Friday. Both nights are 6 p.m. starts for the JV games, and Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you both the JV and varsity games both nights. Then on Saturday, the boys will head west to take on the Jay County Patriots. We'll be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of both the JV and varsity games, with the JV game starting at 6. Three big games coming up this week. The girls host Delphus St. John on Thursday, the boys will play at Delphus on Friday, and then the boys will play at Jay County on Saturday. Get to these games if you can to support our teams, but if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
All right, we're back here with Isaac Burkhart and Preston Hoying from Troop 99, and these young men are working on their Eagle Scout projects. Isaac, tell us a little bit about your project, what you're doing, and all the logistics of how that's going to work.
Okay, so for my Eagle Scout project, I am going to be constructing a courtyard in the plaza at the center of the Fort Recovery High School, and this courtyard will allow students to meet outside, have lunch outside in a safe enclosed area, and just hang out during flex times or any other free time they have.
So is this kind of where, for the people that have been at Fort Recovery High School, they did enclose that area fairly recently. It was open to the north, I believe, for a long time. It's if you're at the gym and you go into the little meeting room they have just to the west of that, it's kind of right out there, or is it a little back toward the south a little bit, somewhere in there?
It's more towards the front entrance. If you were to go to, like, Mrs. Kaiser's office, the guidance counselor, you would basically walk right past a door that would lead out to it.
Okay.
Her office looks in upon the courtyard.
Okay. So what all kind of things are you planning for that area?
The grass that is there now will be removed and replaced with a paver walkway and patio area in the center that can allow picnic tables to be placed upon or benches, anything that the school wishes to use the patio area for. The exterior grass that's not covered by pavers will be also removed, and the dirt covered by weed wrap and covered by decorative rock and bushes.
Oh, okay. That's pretty nice. How big an area is this?
It's somewhere around 900 square feet.
So about 30 by 30?
Yep.
Okay. Yep. So that's a decent size area, and can do a lot of potential for that area for all kinds of things to do and things that we're thinking it might be for. In 10 years, somebody may come up with some sort of new thing that's going to be perfect for that, or maybe just this forever and ever. That'd be really good. So, so your project is to do the paver bricks, and are you doing any of the tables or benches, or are you going to kind of leave that to the school to use as they want? Or
I plan on leaving that to the school to decide if they like more picnic tables, more benches,
okay,
stuff like that.
Yep, that's a good idea, because since nobody's done this before, they might not know exactly what they want to do with it for a while. So they can do a little trial and error and see what's going to work the best. So what are the access doors to this area?
This area can only be accessed through the school, so you must enter into the main building of the school through the hallways and then enter into there's two doors that enter into the building. One, like I said, was by Mrs. Kaiser's office. The other one is at the opposite end of the school near the SAC entrance, or that hallway that connects the SAC to the main hallways in the school.
Okay, what is the SAC?
The Student Athletic Center that they recently built.
Oh, okay. Yep, yep.
But these entrances are, they're unlocked at all times, and the doors will never lock, so no one can ever get trapped in there. They are, or the school had to acquisition the area as a classroom when they did, like, their
some of their funding things that they needed to do, or various things for the state.
Yeah, and their inspections. That's what I was getting at.
Yep.
So it is acquisitioned with outlets, exit lights, fire alarms, flashers, all this stuff. So
the safety part of it was already there to start with. Is it used at all now? Is there any use for it, or is it just a big empty?
Right now, it's just a big empty grass filled space that needs mowed every once in a while.
Yeah, that's a hassle, because you have to actually take the lawnmower through the even if it's not very much of the school, you have to at least go across a hall to do that. That's, I'm sure the janitors, the maintenance people, don't love dragging lawnmowers across their floors in the school. So, what kind of time frame do you have for completing this, and can you do any of it in the winter? What kind of things can you do now besides figuring things out and getting things ready to go?
My time frame is by April of 2017. So winter work-wise, as long as the ground and the frost level doesn't go too deep, we can still dig up the project. Obviously, a lot harder with the ground being harder and frozen. Mm-hmm. So it's doable as now. We just need to fund it first. And
okay. So you said funding. What? How does this project get funded?
I have to raise funds through asking for donations from organizations, clubs, businesses, and
can it be individuals if somebody wants to?
Absolutely.
Okay. How would somebody, could they just call the school and say, I want to donate a few dollars or a few pennies or a couple of $100 to this project, or how would they get a hold of you to...
The best way to do that would be to write a check. Checks are the safest and...
Okay. Can be used for easier used for tax purposes.
Absolutely. You can write a check to Troop 99 and just drop it off at the school. They can give it to me there, and I'll make copies of it and deposit it.
Okay, so they can take it to the high school office, basically.
Absolutely.
So
yep. Cheryl
Wenning or
Mrs. Wenning.
Yep, or Mrs. Judy. Yep. So okay, so. You have to. You say you're going to. Are you going to go to various organizations around town, like the community club, the SIO, Desai?
Yes, I've been to many of the organizations and communities around here. We've done VFW, American Legion, Sons. All we've done quite a few of them already. Of our $10,000 project cost, we've raised close to $1,900 already with a bunch of more meetings scheduled and ready to be presented at.
So you've got about 19%, about 20% of the way there. And has anybody been any problem that they understand what you're doing, and most of them are very receptive? Is that how what you've found?
I haven't had a negative thought yet.
Yep, I wouldn't expect that. This community, number one, loves the Boy Scouts. Number two, know that what they're doing is very important. And over the years, looking back at previous Boy Scouts and Eagles in particular, what outstanding people they've turned out to be, and people want to help that type of thing go. So you say it's about... $10,000 total cost for is there any labor involved in that, or is it all material?
That's all material. Without labor, that saves us a ton of money doing estimates. I asked for both an estimate of what I would be getting the project for and what the school would be paying retail for, and if the school wanted to retail this project out, they'd be paying somewhere around $23,000, whereas we're getting it for $10,000. It was something like $10,000 alone just for labor, so that cuts a big...
Yeah, so is this something you're going to be doing basically yourself, or do you have some other people helping you, or how much are other people allowed to help you? If somebody wants to come and help, can they just do that, or I know there's some restrictions on Eagle projects on what kind of things can be done.
Well, anybody's welcome to help. They just as long as they are volunteer workers, we can take their help. I'll be working on it. The Boy Scouts will be helping me when we set up a date to dig, as well as friends from school. So, yeah, any help's appreciated.
Yep. So, have you found a lot of people so far that are willing and or eager to help?
Yeah, lots of people have been looking forward to getting out there and getting the job done.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know if this is something that they're allowed to do. Is some of it able to be done on school time with maybe certain classes can help, or during study hall periods? Are they allowed to do it then, or does it all have to be off of school time?
I'd say usually that's up to the teacher, depending on who's overlooking the study hall, and of course the teacher would get permission from the principal first. But I'm pretty sure they would allow that.
Yep, I'm sure the principal's definitely on board with this.
Yeah,
yeah, the administration we've had the last 5, 10, 15 years has been very, and probably before that has been very, very anything that you're doing that's positive, they want to make it easier for you. So that's a really good thing. So that's great that the school is on board and willing to help and making things easier for you. Why did you pick this project?
Well, I was not paying attention very well in class and was kind of
that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I was kind of daydreaming and watching Mr. Hart mow the lawn out there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Got me sparked on the interest of taking that time I spent daydreaming in class and kind of turned it into time students could use to possibly be out there and doing other stuff with it instead of having Mr. Hart mow it.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, as most of the time people, teachers get mad at you for kind of not paying attention, but if you're coming up with great ideas, that's not necessarily time wasted. It can be, but not necessarily. So that's really good. Do you have plans drawn up for this? Is this something you take around to the various meetings and things that you go to?
Yes, I have a folder that's filled with my estimates, pictures of what it looks like now, floor plan of what it should look like when it's finished, blueprints. And I take that to every meeting with every organization and present it to them so they know exactly what they're funding and what they're expecting to get out of their donation.
That's a pretty good way to do it. Is there something that just regular, if they missed that meeting or whatever, is there anywhere where they can access that, or is it just mostly something you have on paper?
It's mostly something I have on paper.
Okay. And as far as other groups that you're going to go visit, what are some of those that do you have in mind? Which ones that you still have left to go see so people can make sure they get to that meeting to see what your project and give them a yes vote to support it?
I'd say Ladies Solidarity.
Okay.
School Board, that's next week.
Uh-huh.
I have Knights of Columbus.
Yep. So you've been to the Scio Desai?
Not to that one.
Oh, okay.
But to others, yeah.
Community Club, have you been to the Community Club yet?
No.
Okay. Those are two very good ones, and they're usually very good at supporting almost any project, but scouting projects in particular. So, and what's your deadline for getting this done, or is there a deadline? If it takes you till fall, or if it takes you till whatever, to get the funding and the actual work done, is there a deadline for getting that done?
My deadline is April of 2017. I turn 18 then, and that is the cutoff kind of line for obtaining your Eagle Scout and doing your project. So
it needs to be finished by then?
Yes, or at least everything paid for and everything set out ready to go. The labor doesn't necessarily have to be done, but as long as I can prove that I have the resources in hand and can get it done, I can still obtain my Eagle Scout.
Awesome. So how long have you been thinking about this, planning, all of that?
I've been planning this since early August.
Okay.
Right about when school started, when I started meeting with Mr. Hobbs while he was still there, right before he left, and then meeting with Mr. Overman and Mr. Ferks and Mr. Hart to try and get things rolling, and, of course, meeting with Mr. Stone at Nature's Green. He's been helping a ton with estimates and plans and kind of letting me know what this would look like and what that would look like.
Yeah, that's one thing that we have here in Fort Recovery. We have Steve Stone at Nature's Green and Judy's at Judy Landscaping. We have two of the probably best landscaping people for miles around, and they're both right here. And they love to help people with projects like this because it's just their whole goal. Of course, they need to make a living, but their whole goal is to make everything better in town, and that's one more thing.
Absolutely.
And so, excuse me. As far as time frame, you've said you need to have it done by April. What kind of work is involved with getting the grass out? Is it just a whole bunch of people with shovels and do it in an hour, or do you have to have a certain piece of equipment and it has to be how long does that take?
Well, Mr. Stone said that if you hired four people to work all day, they could have the entire thing dug out. And if you hired four people all day to prepare it for pavers, they could have all the gravel brought in and they could have all the sand put down as well as all the gravel around the outsides put in. So relatively it's not that long of a time frame if you get 10, 12 people doing it.
Yep.
He has let us use all his equipment that he has, so we have access to sod cutters and
that makes it really good.
Everything that his profession has in store. Obviously, being enclosed by the school, he's unable to get like skid loaders and stuff like that in there, so it will have to be done mostly by shovel and put into a wheelbarrow and wheelbarrowed out to a truck.
But. Yep, and that still has to go through the school too. But you're only going, if I remember right, if you go to the south, you can go through one door and right straight out into the parking lot, so you don't have to wheel it through a whole bunch of the school, but jump
across the 4 foot wide hallway.
Yeah. So okay, anything else that we didn't cover on your project?
Nope. I think you hit it all.
So do you want to recap? We've got basically do a recap of what you're doing and your time frame then.
So we're doing a paver area courtyard in the center of the school that is going to be used as a lunch and outdoor classroom and outdoor meeting area for the senior class as well as any other class of Fort Recovery Schools, and we're going to get it done by April 2017.
And you'll be going around to various of the local organizations looking for funding.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's Isaac Burkhart with his courtyard project at the school. We'll be back in just a minute, and we'll talk with Preston Hoeing about his Eagle Scout project.
Christmas decorations, we all love to look at them, but doing the work is another thing. Tired of your fingers being numb? Tired of the lights not working?
Is it one bulb or the whole set?
Tired of the hassle of putting up the lights and no time to get it all done during the busiest time of the year? Then make it easy on yourself and call Steve at Nature's Green. Steve can take care of your holiday decorating at your home or business. You pick the theme, Nature's Green does the rest. But don't wait till it's too late. Visit naturesgreen.com.
Are you looking to change your career or become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. Would you like to know more about the positions and benefits Cooper Farms has to offer? Visit our website at cooperfarms.com or stop by 2321 State Route 49, Fort Recovery, Ohio, and ask to speak with an HR representative. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Running short on time and need to get supper fast? Or maybe you just don't feel like messing up the kitchen? Call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 for some great food without the hassle. Great sandwiches, wings, subs, pizza, what's your favorite? Just call them and they'll fix it for you. And don't forget to call them if you're looking for a place for your Christmas party, or you can order your wings and pizza ahead of time for a holiday get-together at your place. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274. Friends of the Fort Recovery Library will once again be hosting their annual Fort Festival of Trees display at the library now through December 31st. Many beautifully decorated Christmas trees and wreaths will be on display and open to the public during regular library hours. Join the many families who have made an annual tradition of visiting the library to view this wonderful display of trees and wreaths that have been decorated by local businesses, families, and organizations, and vote for your favorite. Be sure to stop by your library for the Fort Festival of Trees, going on now through the end of the year.
We're back with Preston Hoeing. We're going to be talking about his Eagle Scout project and maybe some various other things. We'll be talking about scouting and some of that type of thing. So, Preston, tell us about your project.
My Eagle Scout project is also going to take place in the school. I will be putting safety buckets in the classrooms.
Okay.
And I'm going to put them in there if a natural disaster ever happens and for some reason kids are stuck in the classroom.
Someone like myself has no idea what a safety bucket is, can you tell us what that is and what it's for?
Yeah, I'll put a safety bucket in the classroom, and it'll contain items, so if for some reason they're locked in the classroom or something, they'll be able to keep themselves going and items to help them out in that situation.
So what are some of the items?
Like tarp and dust masks and glow sticks and like rubber gloves and like duct tape and stuff like that.
Oh, anything? Yep, yep. Now, is there? You said if they're stuck in the classroom, so is there crowbars they can pry their way out?
Like sometimes we go on lockdown if for some reason like that.
Yeah, and that could definitely happen. You know, it should never happen anywhere.
Yeah,
but you and I both know that things do happen,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there's some of that that's gotten into some smaller schools, and you just have to. So, and if somebody would try to do something, it'd be a little tough. So,
yeah.
How many classrooms are you doing? Is it just at the high school, elementary school, every room, selected rooms, or?
Right now, I'm planning on doing every room, middle school and high school.
Okay.
Which adds to about 100 classrooms around.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, I'll take 100 buckets around.
So is this an actual bucket that this
it'll be
is
a
in, like a five-gallon bucket
five
with a
gallon
lid?
Bucket with a lid.
Oh, okay. I was thinking like a metal bucket with stuff thrown in there, but okay. So you have to come up with 100 of them.
Mm-hmm.
How much does all of each one of those buckets, what's the approximate cost or the total cost, I guess?
I'm thinking around $35 a bucket. Close to.
So about $3,500?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty good. That's one of those projects you hope nobody ever uses. We want to use Isaac's. We don't want to use yours. But if I remember correctly, one of the scout mottos is be prepared.
Yep.
And that's very important. Be prepared. So this is a very good example of being prepared for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
We always hope and think that it can't happen around here, but things do happen. So,
and even if like a pipeline would bust, pipeline, if they're stuck in the classroom.
Yeah, that could definitely happen.
Yeah.
Definitely happen. Or an accident where a tanker truck, mm-hmm. or it wouldn't even have to be an accident where there's hazardous material leaking right on the state highway or something like that. We have to do lockdown.
Yep.
Stay in place, and so that's a pretty good. How did you come up with the idea for that?
Well, I was just thinking I needed a project, and
mm-hmm.
we do lockdown drills about every month in class.
Oh, okay.
And so I kind of got the idea from that, having items ready if that would ever happen.
I didn't realize that. We did lockdown drills, but that's a really good, we did fire drills, and it mm-hmm. was kind of looked on as a joke back in the old days because it's a school and it's not going to catch on fire, although it definitely could have. But and everybody knew the way to the door, and most of the time we didn't switch classrooms and all that, so it wasn't that important then. But now there's so many other things that can happen, and some of them mm-hmm. are. Some person doing something bad, or it can be just anything random. So I didn't realize they did.
We do
disaster drills,
and for some of them, for if a intruder comes in the building, we barricade the doors now and all that. So in that bucket, I might put something to protect the people from an intruder.
Yeah,
like hairspray or something that always comes in handy in the eyes or bee spray or something.
Yeah, just about anything.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably not anything flammable, though.
Yeah, nothing harmful to the kids.
Yeah, because that could go south pretty fast.
Yeah.
So does all of this more or less fill the bucket, or is it just kind of...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So all the items I'm putting in there, I'm still figuring some of that stuff out, and I'm thinking the bucket should be pretty full.
That's good. You're not going to need to get a bigger container, are you? Go to totes?
I don't think so.
Okay. So... as Isaac was saying, the project has to be finished by the time you're 18, so you have forever to get this finished. It won't take you anywhere near that long. Are you just in the beginning stages of your project, or are you pretty far along?
Yeah, I'm just starting it and starting to find donations and finding companies that maybe will donate some buckets and lids or some of the items that go in the bucket.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I don't think there's any of the 5 gallon bucket manufacturers around, but a lot of those companies can deal with a supplier that can get those for you. Mm-hmm. So, well, actually, maybe Fort Recovery Industries has a plastics division. They may have, they may make those over in Portland. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's it's really good to. And you guys probably are too young to realize this, but a lot of the people around here get great satisfaction out of helping other people do good things. You'll get as you get older, and especially if you stay around here, Southern Mercer County especially, but lots of the area and a lot of the world, people really get a lot of satisfaction about through helping other people. So don't be afraid to ask for monetary, physical help, you know, anything like that where you need something. People, once the, you guys aren't old enough to remember when the Jubilee wasn't very good. Somebody decided that we need to get a lot more people involved. Instead of having five people do all the work, they have 100 people doing a little bit of work. And now it's everybody's Jubilee, and they support it and they love it, and it's extremely successful. You get new ideas, but the main thing is people feel good about helping, and I think that's a great way to do things. So don't ever be afraid to go asking people for some help on a project. And again, that's part of the project itself. If I understand correctly, for the Eagle Scout projects, part of the requirements are that you do go out and ask people to help you. Is that a good part of it? So do they have kind of parameters on what how many people you need to ask, or does the Eagles just say the scouting committee say on the Eagle project you need to get other people involved in funding, or what is there? Do they say you have to check with such and such number of?
I don't think you need to have
any specific number?
Specific number, but usually we have enough Boy Scouts in the troop that we can get it done with them without going outside the troop. But sometimes if it's a bigger project, we'll have to go outside the troop.
Yep. Well, that's good. And, as I said, the more people that get involved, people like to help if it's something they can they can do. And we, with the new playground equipment they put at the swimming pool park a couple of years ago, the community club went out and did that, and it was probably it was estimated to be $10,000 worth of labor that we did in a day. And there were about five of us that knew what we were doing, and the other 25 were just helping and holding and doing this and that. You don't have to be, you know, great at everything to go and assist a little bit. So if some of these guys need some help, always anybody that's out there listening, just say, yes, we're going to do that. And help them out in any little way, because if a whole bunch of people help, as Isaac was talking about with his project, four people working all day to take out the sod and then to put in the leveling for the paver bricks, you know, a whole bunch of people can do it, and it's done fairly quickly, and you don't have to pay for that. So. So you're figuring it's going to cost about $35 a bucket.
Yeah, around that.
And is it always going to be in approximately the same place in each classroom, or is it just going to always be where everybody knows where it is?
Yeah, I'll probably let the teachers decide that in their classroom so they can arrange their classroom how they like it.
Yep, that's a good way to do it. And then they know where it is, and as long as they make sure the kids know, and I would think that they're going to do it when they do the disaster drill. They're also going to mention this bucket that's there with a lot of things in it. And, you know, as it goes on, they may find there's something else they want to add, or somebody may invent something in 2 or 3 years where they can just keep adding to it. And that can maybe be somebody else's project is to update the bucket every 5 years or something. So, so, as far as you're putting things together, is it going to take a bunch of people once you get everything all lined up, or are you going to kind of do them more or less yourself, each one individually? You're going to have some guys helping you, or have you got that far in your plan yet?
Yeah, I'll probably have a few guys help me. I don't think it'll take too many. We'll just have to arrange every item into the bucket, so many items, so it shouldn't take too much labor.
Yep, but it'll take a while. It'll take some time.
Yeah.
Because you have to be sure that they all have the right stuff in it. So how many items are you thinking right now that that'll be in it? Five or six? Or
I'm thinking more than that.
Okay.
And be a good amount.
Yeah, and you can add to it as you as you think of it.
Yep.
And as people invent new stuff, too, I guess. So that's good.
And I might go like Chief Laux and ask him of good ideas and stuff like that to put in the bucket.
And maybe even Sheriff Gray.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that are extremely good resources, and they love to help people that are doing good things.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing we're blessed with, is extremely good law enforcement in this area. If we get stopped, we don't have to worry about them shooting us. They're there to help us. They're not there to try to see how much trouble they can cause. So I think that they're always willing to help, and I think that's a really good resource. Are most of the items in there things you thought of, or that is there a kind of a
just some survival things I thought off at the top of my head that would be handy in this situation.
Now, as far as survival, are you thinking things you've done when you're on camping trips and things like that?
Yeah, things like that we throw in our backpack for some situations.
Yep. So camping trips are fun, but that's not what it's all about. It's it's learning various things, including survival skill if you ever need it. Hopefully you don't, but that's a good thing. I was just thinking maybe on buses, but you're not probably not going to need that in a bus. So I'm just thinking if that would be anything that would be something you'd want to look at. But I don't think you're probably not going to get trapped in a bus. So each classroom will have one, and so they'll be kind of anywhere and everywhere in middle school, elementary, and high school, and all the things. Well, that's really great. So we're going to take a little break, and then we'll talk about some scouting in general and see what goes on with Boy Scout.
It's November, and it's time to get your car ready for winter. Don't get stuck with a dead battery, bad wipers, or not-so-great tires. Give the professionals at Hastings Auto a call at 375-4617 and schedule your winter checkup. They'll check your antifreeze, wipers, battery, tires, and more so you're ready when that cold weather hits us. Hastings is open weekdays from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays from 7:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., and now Hastings is open on Tuesday nights until 8 p.m. Hastings Auto, 375-4617.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Son, this is Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. We don't have any elves here, but new insurance coverage from Ohio Mutual would make a great gift for your family, so I guess we're Santa's special elves.
Well, if you're an elf, will you tell Santa that I've been nice all year?
Uh-huh.
And I want a new computer.
Uh-huh.
My own TV.
Mm-hmm. See what the elves have waiting for you, where we've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Christmas decorations, we all love to look at them, but doing the work is another thing. Tired of your fingers being numb?
Ow.
Tired of the lights not working?
Is it one bulb or the whole set?
Tired of the hassle of putting up the lights and no time to get it all done during the busiest time of the year? Then make it easy on yourself and call Steve at Nature's Green. Steve can take care of your holiday decorating at your home or business. You pick the theme, Nature's Green does the rest. But don't wait till it's too late. Visit naturesgreen.com.
Here are the sports broadcasts coming up on Fort Recovery Radio this week. It's Delphi St. John Week, with the girls hosting the Lady Blue Jays on Thursday and the boys traveling to Delphus on Friday. Both nights are 6 p.m. starts for the JV games, and Fort Recovery Radio's broadcast team will bring you both the JV and varsity games both nights. Then on Saturday, the boys will head west to take on the Jay County Patriots. We'll be simulcasting WPGW's coverage of both the JV and varsity games, with the JV game starting at 6. Three big games coming up this week. The girls host Delphus St. John on Thursday. The boys will play at Delphus on Friday. And then the boys will play at Jay County on Saturday. Get to these games if you can to support our teams. But if you just can't get to the games in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back with Boy Scouts Isaac Burkhart and Preston Hoying, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Boy Scouts in Fort Recovery and scouting in general. What is Boy Scouting about? What do you do, Isaac?
Boy Scouting is mainly about teaching younger Cub Scouts to Boy Scouts or younger mm-hmm. joinees how to develop into a better person through the roles they take on in leadership and sustainability and other elements like that. The camping trips, those help the scouts to learn how to do basic necessities. It was founded a long time ago, so the events they do are based around what the scouts at that time did, mm-hmm. like the camping that was essential back in that time. So we still do it today, and it's mm-hmm. a great skill to learn to everybody how to pitch a tent and how to start a fire. It teaches kids not only how to survive if they were to get lost in the wilderness, but how to cooperate with others, how to get a point across, and how to
yep.
move through life.
A lot of life lessons.
Absolutely.
Plus skills, but life lessons is a big thing. Does that sound, do you have anything else to add on that, Preston?
Like he said, camping, it adds a lot to you. I mean, if you,
yeah.
you're away from your parents and your family for a few weeks and you
and,
learn a lot.
And mom and making your breakfast for you.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people don't think about that, but being able to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 8, probably you can't do that so well, but by the time you're, well, even Preston's 15, I'm sure if he was out in the woods, he could at least take care of himself. Now he's learned a lot of skills and gotten a little better at things. So besides life lessons, you're learning not just survival skills, but all kinds of things like knot tying. That always seemed kind of stupid to me till I got to be an adult and needed to tie some knots and didn't know how to.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how to tie a square knot, and that was basically it. All I remember is left over right, right over left.
Yep.
And it's pretty easy. That's about the only one I can do. But there's times when you need other knots, and I don't remember them. That's bad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you just kind of laugh it off as, you know, just tie a knot. You can tie your shoes. You can tie a square knot. What else do you need? Or a granny knot. That's all you need.
Yep.
Well, that isn't all you need. There's plenty of times when there's all these little details that the Boy Scouts get into that I really wish I had paid attention to and didn't. So there's a lot of good skills besides just survival and just learning to be a better person. Before we were on the air, we talked a little bit about the Scout. Is it the Scout motto? Be prepared. Is that what it is, Preston?
Yeah.
Is that the motto? They got a motto and a slogan and something else. I can't remember what all the...
Yeah.
And the, so, be prepared. And that's the one thing I did take from scouting. I tend to be one of those people, when I go anywhere, I don't travel light. Most of the time, if people know me, I'll be somewhere and somebody say, oh, I wish we had such and such. I either pull it out of my pocket or go out in my car and get it.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Well, just be prepared. So you just and everybody does that in a different way. You can be prepared mentally for a situation, but you can also be thinking ahead for things you might need someday. And if I happen to be somewhere and wish I had something, I usually put one in my car so I have it the next time. But let's see. What are some of the other mottos, slogans, that kind of thing that the Boy Scouts have? And they're like 12 things, trustworthy, loyal. What is that? What's that called?
That's the Scout Law.
Scout Law.
So, yeah.
So what is that one? Preston, you want to?
It's be trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent.
Hey, they didn't change it from when I was there.
Yeah.
And I still, that goes through my head about 4 or 5 times a year. Every couple of months, for some reason, I just, that those go through my head. And that is really good advice for living your entire life, not just as kids, but that if trustworthy is extremely important. If people trust you, you can get a lot of things done. If they think you have some ulterior motive or don't know, or you don't know what you're talking about, it's tough to get them to be on your side to help you with something, or, you know, like when you're going to the various groups to get some funding. If they trust you, they're going to help you. That's just kind of how it is. And the loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous kind, you know, that just, those are just really, really good, things to, as far as, living your life. So, as far as scouting, what kind of, projects does Troop 99 do through the year, Isaac?
They host the pancake sausage breakfast, usually near Easter time.
Uh-huh.
They take care of the surrounding area at the depot where we meet. Keep that up and in order. They pass out popcorn during the Christmas open house. We did that this year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
We're down there by the visitor center, as well as scouts help out at doing concessions at basketball games and volleyball games, occasional.
And one of my favorite things, Vantrees Park in the summer, you guys are making popcorn, and it smells great, and it tastes great, and that adds to it. I don't know if you guys make much money on that. I hope you do, but I really enjoy that. You can get water or pop and popcorn. Life doesn't get better than that. Popcorn and watching entertainment. I was thinking about one or two projects. You just named about five or six, so that's really good. You kind of forget that you guys do that much, and I do. I think this year you guys just started helping with the concession stand.
Yeah,
good. Is that a pretty decent fundraiser, or can you tell yet?
I don't think we make funds off of it. We might have.
Oh, you're just basically helping.
Yeah,
helping the athletic boosters.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's through the athletic boosters.
Because they do so much stuff. Well, the Jerome and Morris Greasup Center. You know, that's almost completely paid for now. I think they're 90% funded and still a little bit more to go. But, you know, with guys like you helping out, the money from the concession stand can really make a lot of difference and help that out. So that's really good. So I'm glad you guys are doing things like that. Some responsibility, helping people for no monetary gain, even if the scouts get some out of it. You know, you guys aren't getting anything, but and you get to meet a lot of people. Now, it's only 5-second conversation, but it's still, you know, get to meet a lot of people. Has Boy Scouting, were either you guys shy and didn't want to talk to people? Has that helped you, or was that anything with you? Like, Isaac, is it?
Well, I started out kind of quiet in Boy Scouting. I like to learn the stuff myself and practice it to myself, but when you get up in Maine and you got 10 days with the same people, you kind of, not really forced, but you open up with people. You get to relive the same experiences, relate to them, go through it together.
Yep.
It definitely bonds between you and your scouts as well as.
So, do you think that's a good thing, or some people like to not have a bunch of other people around them and share, and other people do, or they don't think they like it, but when they do, they get better at it and like it. Is that something that's where you kind of always didn't really want to talk to people, or just you know, kind of getting has it helped you a lot with doing that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I like to sit back and watch other people do their thing and learn from them that way. But if you don't have any social encounters with anybody, you're never going to learn anything. The scouts hold a national and like a world jamboree worlds every 4 years and nationals every year. To just bring scouts together, to get them social, to meet people from around the world that do the same as they do.
And you were talking about, you know, sitting back and watching people do things and learning from them. You also need to know, and probably maybe not consciously realize, that people are watching you and they're learning from you. So, you know, just because you may or may not think you're interacting with other people, they're watching and they're learning. So be a good example, and that goes back to the laws, trustworthy, loyal, all that kind of stuff. That's all very important. Preston, how many, do you know about how many Boy Scouts there are in Troop 99?
I think about around 20 now.
Okay.
And here soon, we got some more crossing over from the Cub Scouts.
Okay. And so what age do they become Boy Scouts? Is that third grade, fourth grade, something like that?
They start Cub Scouts third or fourth grade.
Oh, okay.
And I think the crossover around 11 years old.
Okay.
10, 11, so.
Yep. So do you have quite a few younger? Is it kind of a combination of all ages, or is it a bunch of young, bunch of old, and nowhere in between, or what do you have there?
Yeah, it's a good mixture of both.
Oh,
we
good.
Got some older and younger, so the younger kids can learn from the older ones, and
yep.
we can help teach the younger ones, and
that's awesome.
Keep running smoothly.
Yep. So like you're 15, you can learn from the older ones, but you can also be an example to the younger ones. That's perfect. That's a really good way to do it. Who are the like the scoutmaster and the other adult leaders in Boy Scouts?
So our scoutmaster is Jeff Hoing.
That's your dad?
That's my dad, yeah.
Yep.
And assistant scoutmaster is Scott Pearson.
Another really good, fine person.
Yeah. Yep.
And are there any other adult leaders?
All the parents, usually a bunch of the parents, they always volunteer and help out in different
yep.
parts.
That's good.
And they can help us teach us merit badges and sign off on the merit badges and help counsel us through the way.
Yep. That's really good because it's one thing that's really important is to get that combination of the scout leaders doing one thing and your family kind of helping out and being involved. A lot of people don't have that around here. Most people have the families involved, but there's a lot of places that the families just can't be involved. They're not even around sometimes. So you talked about the Isaac, you talked about the world. Is that called a jamboree or something like that? Yep. Do we have a lot of local people going to that?
Usually I'd say we don't.
It costs a lot of money and takes a lot of time.
To get all the way over there to where they host it.
Yep. National?
National. We've inquired going occasionally when it's over on this side of the
Mississippi?
Yeah. U.S.,
yeah.
But I don't think anybody's gone. Some of the adult leaders, I think they went when they were in Boy Scouts or as a scoutmaster, they went over there just to check it out and see what it was all about.
Yep.
But from pictures and online, it looks like it's a ton of fun.
Yep. So if you were able to go to, like, the National, is that, like, 3 or 4 days, a week? Do you know?
It's about a weekend, and they have people do talks. They have just meeting times. You meet with people. They do a big, like, patch trading thing where people
forgot about that.
They just trade for endless hours and
– Yep.
They just have good social time. You sit around campfires at night and you talk to people you don't know, talk to people you do know, and then
You can learn a lot that way.
Absolutely.
Or like you were saying, you like to sit and watch people.
Yep,
I do that a lot. You can learn a lot by you can tell who's good people and who you might want to be a little wary of. But so is there some sort of idea of what it would cost to go to like the National?
Depending on where it's at, I mean, to do it itself is not that that expensive. I think maybe $100 to do the whole weekend kind of thing. But when you add travel time and depending if you need a plane or something, it can get pretty expensive up to close to $1,000, something like that.
Yep.
Depending on if you bring your own food, and most everybody usually does, so depending on how much you want to eat compared to the number of people you go and stuff like that, it all factors in. It could vary differently every year. They change the pricing requires you to go. They change the location, obviously. They change the people who are there.
Yeah, you want to have it all kinds of different places. Preston, what other events do you guys go to annually or regularly or every once in a while?
Okay, so every year we have the just regular summer camp in our district.
Yep, and where's that held? It used to be Camp Lakota, but I think they changed the name or changed the location.
There's two of them, Camp Lakota or Camp Barry.
Okay, yep.
You can go to both of them. And those are just like a week summer camp in the summer. And you go there and you have fun. You can earn merit badges and meet new people.
Yeah, that from what I remember, that's a really good place to earn merit badges because you have somebody right there telling you everything you need to know and making sure you know it. It's just like, you know, classroom, and then you have the little test at the end, and you do the things they told you, and you have your merit badge, and you know a lot more than you did before. So do you guys do that? Do most of the kids do that every year?
Usually we start the younger kids out there because they have a younger program. They teach them the basics of Boy Scouts. Uh-huh. But like us older guys, when we're old enough for high adventure, usually we go to higher adventure trips and something like that. Like this past year, a bunch of us went to North Carolina, and we went on a backpacking trip in the mountains.
Wow. How long a trip was that?
That was a week in the mountains. We carried all of our supplies in, our stoves, our food, and our tents.
I can't carry a week of food across the street.
Yeah.
Much less on a hike in the mountains. And so were there certain areas, were there campgrounds where you could camp each night, or did you kind of have to do it?
Yeah, it was... They weren't really campgrounds because this was in a national forest, and like they're not allowed to like mark trails and stuff because that's just part of the not destroying,
right?
Like,
yeah, the natural,
the same. But on the map, that shows you like just little places people have cleared out for a camp spot,
Probably near a water source of some sort.
Water source, and we have to purify all of our water to drink during the week and cook with. And every night you hang a bear bag and everything like that to keep the bears out.
Oh. Ooh. So do you sleep in a tree too? Well, the bears can get in the tree. I'd be.
Yeah. Usually we do all right though.
Oh, that's good. So you've got all of that. And so how long a hike? You said hike. Was it a bunch of miles, a few miles?
Yeah, just, we divided all the miles up into between days.
Uh-huh.
So there were some days where we'd hike 12 miles a day almost. And
yep, so about a mile and a half an hour. That's pretty good with carrying a week's worth of food if you walk for 8 hours.
Yeah, and it's not just a flat surface. You're walking up and
down and around and hanging on to trees and trying to keep from falling off. And yep, so that's good. Anything else that we haven't covered? You guys got anything else to add that we...
Well, during winter time, we have two events that we usually do. It's a polar bear camp out, which is you sleep overnight in weather that is below freezing. And that earns you a patch or something for that year. It's pretty popular around here. We usually camp right out there by the Ambassador Park, and you'll make a fire and cook the food for the night, and then either bed down or sit up late around the fire until you fall asleep.
I'd be doing that because I bedding down without a heater. I'd be
And
but I did do that once, and I didn't care for that, but I survived. But you know, you get again. Be prepared. You have plenty of blankets and. And I don't know, is there any, when I was in scouting, there was no kind of heat source you could use inside a tent? Is anything?
Actually, no. You make your own shelter now.
Yep.
No tents. You make your own shelter.
Ooh.
So usually we bring tarp out there,
and
then you got your sleeping bag, you lay on tarp. And
one sleeping bag?
Yeah, I bring quite a bit.
I was going to say I'd have seven.
And everything.
Yeah. Whew. So is that... How do you, does that work out okay? Do you freeze to death? Are you just miserable all night and can't sleep?
I've been warm. We make dessert before we go to bed, like hot cobbler on the stove or whatever. And,
that's awesome.
And then go to bed. But like, we have a lot of sleeping bags that are rated down to 0 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's not too bad.
I think mine was rated for 50 degrees. I think it was rated for summer. So, okay. Well, we've been talking with a couple of Boy Scouts working on their Eagle projects, and that's Isaac Burkhart and Preston Hoying. And we appreciate your time. Isaac, thanks for coming.
Yep, no problem.
And Preston, we appreciate you stopping
by.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.